Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to begin reading at verse 15, 21. And I think you'll understand why we're going to be settling down in verse 20. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, and giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. And this morning, again, verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we pause and thank you for your word, which is life, which shows us who you are and how we are to know you and how we are to live before you. We thank you for your word this morning and pray that your Holy Spirit will help us and guide us and help us to make this verse more and more part of our living before your face. And so, Lord, grant your Holy Spirit that we might all understand and take to heart this word of yours. Amen. Amen. Well, you're on a beach somewhere in the Dominican Republic, and you're on 2 weeks vacation, needed vacation. And somebody comes along the beach, it's a local, and there you are at the beach, and your feet are in the water, and you're just soaking up the sun, and this local says to you, you know what, you should really consider taking a vacation. You're driving in your car. You're being very careful about the way you're doing that. You're being fastidious. You're obeying all the rules of the road. And the person in the passenger seat next to you turns to you and says, you know what? You should really be very careful with the way that you drive. Some of you young people are busy studying for an exam. You've been studying for weeks. Your parents poke their head in the door and they say to you, you should really study for that exam. That would be strange, wouldn't it? Because we all know that you don't tell somebody to do something when you know they're doing it, right? That's obvious. And so when the Apostle Paul comes along this morning and says to us, be thankful always, at all times, to God the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, well, he's revealing something about us, isn't he? Because you don't tell people to do something that they're already doing. You see, the reality is, friends, that we are not always in the habit, in the custom of giving thanks. And is it true that we can be singularly thankless in this life? Would you not agree? And the Apostle Paul knows that. And so here he comes this morning and he's giving this word of exhortation. He's saying, be thankful to God the Father. Now he's intelligent. And he knows that if he just said that, what would our response be? That's right, Paul. I need to be thankful. Thank you. We'd nod our heads and we'd walk away and what? Nary a word of thanks. Isn't that true? And so what he does is this is actually very clever. He goes on to give three directives. He fleshes out. He shows us how we are to give thanks to God the Father. And this morning, we're watching, we're looking, and we're following Paul's directives. Those three directives. So that as we begin to take this verse and live it out, we're going to be more and more people brimming with thanksgiving. Okay? And so the first directive that Paul gives is this. Be thankful when? Always. At all times. Now listen, you and I would have little difficulty doing that if things always went well. Isn't that true? I mean, if we were always healthy and and the children were always healthy, and they never fought, and there were never problems in the home, and our marriages were great, and we lived a stress-free, trial-free life, then we would be able to say with the Apostle Paul, yes, amen, always I will give thanks. But what's the problem? Well, the problem is that things don't always go well. Isn't that true? And so when Paul comes along and says, give thanks always, guess what that means? It means that we are to give thanks even when things are really hard and really difficult. Like in the morning when you're trying to wake up and get out of bed. Your bones feel brittle and they creak. It's everything you can do just to wake up and get out of bed. And then when you try to make yourself presentable in the morning, you're to give thanks. And when you're driving to work or to school, that long commute, and you're trying to stay awake at the wheel, Paul says you're to give thanks at that time too. And when you get to work and you're doing your work and it seems tedious, Paul says give thanks. And actually when you're done your work and you're on your way home and you're beat tired, you're bone tired, and you come home and there are issues at home to deal with, Paul says give thanks. And when you fall into bed at the end of the day and you're completely wiped out, you've got nothing left, and you're totally spent, Paul says what? Give thanks. In other words, there is never a time when you are not to give thanks. Paul says you are to give thanks at all times. You want a picture? Here's the picture. It's a mighty, roaring river that constantly spills itself out into the ocean. That's to be us. That's a picture of who you're to be. Never-ending, unceasing thanksgiving to God the Father. Are you flattened yet?
Yeah.
Are you flattened? You say, well, who can do this? I mean, who can be that thankful? This would require such a massive paradigm shift in my thinking to be that thankful. But you know what that reveals, that sense? It reveals this. It reveals just how singularly oblivious we are to all of God's blessings that come to us, doesn't it? I mean, to say, who can do this? Who can give thanks? It only shows, friends, how totally unaware we are of the blessings that come to us day by day. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, they're vast. They're enormous. And they're all around you, and you can't get away from them. They are totally and utterly inescapable. Every day, we swim in a sea of God's blessings. Every single day. It's amazing how thankless we can be. A couple weeks ago, I'm in the grocery store. I'm in the 1 to 16 item checkout lane. And there's a lady in front of me, and the checkout girl got the price wrong. She overcharged her for a cucumber. I don't know how many pennies. But she wanted her money. And there was this long line. And we're waiting for this checkout girl to make it right. And I felt like digging into my pants and just pulling out the change to clear this checkout girl's debt. I despised that woman. I did. And it's all I could think about. I mean, how could she be so completely oblivious? There she was, with her car keys in hand. Her groceries filling the lane. And she's just griping over a few cents on a cucumber. And she so totally irritated me. And there I was with my cell phone and my keys. And I grabbed my groceries and I left in a huff, walked home to my home. It's amazing, isn't it? We can be so small. And so thankless. We swim in a sea of blessing. How can I ever do this, we say. Well, God opened my eyes. How about that? God opened my eyes. And let me see all the blessings that are around me. that you shower out upon me day by day. And help me to understand that my life isn't so completely miserable as I'm making it out to be. And help me not to focus on all the bad and the negative. And help me not to whinge and whine and be cranky. But Lord, help me take a deep breath and step back and open my eyes and be wowed by all the blessings that come to me by your hand. And maybe we'll understand that maybe this is not such an impossible injunction. Be thankful always, at all times. That's the first directive. And Paul gives us a second directive this morning. It's this. Be thankful for what? All things. Not just at all times, but for all things. Now, if you're hoping Paul to get a little more specific here, don't hold your breath. Because if anything, he gets more general. Be thankful, he says, for all things, which means this. For all the things that make you happy and bring you joy. Paul says, give thanks. And by the way, let's just stop for a minute and think about those things. Let's begin with plants. Because they're handy. Right? And let's think about the oxygen we get from those plants. And then let's think about the bodies that we have that use that oxygen. And while we're thinking of the bodies, let's think about the clothes that we wear. And the food that we put into these bodies to get the energy we need. And by the way, while we're thinking of energy, let's not forget about our work, which we're able to do with that energy. And while we're thinking about the energy and the work we can do, let's not forget about the money that we make to provide for others. And while we're thinking of others, let's not forget about our family and our friends and the church. And by the way, while we're thinking about the church, let's not forget about the worship of God and the Word of God that we hear. And while we think about the Word of God, let's not forget about the truth. And by the way, while we think of the truth, let's not forget about Jesus, who is the truth. And while we think of Jesus, let's not forget that He has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, which means this. You get forgiveness of sins. You get faith in God for eternal life. You get joy in the Holy Spirit. You get life never ending that goes on and on and on and on. Every spiritual blessing. For everything that comes to you that makes you happy and joyful, Paul says, give thanks. You want to know what else, though? Paul says you are to give thanks for the things that make you cry. The hard things. I mean, he's saying all things, right? Be thankful for all things. That must mean that you're to give thanks for the things that bring you pain and upset. Right? It must certainly mean that. It must mean that we're to give thanks even for unfulfilled dreams, failure, sickness, accidents, death. Why? Because we're masochistic? No. Because we know that God works all things together for good. We know that they are the occasion for joy. Why? Because God is using them to strengthen our faith. Where does it say that in the Bible? James 1, verses 2 and 3, right? And isn't that true? So that when we're thinking about how bad things are, suddenly we step back and we say, well, you know what? God's in control of this, and He's actually going to work this around so that He's going to fit me for glory and ready me for heaven and comfort me now and help me to get through now and strengthen my faith now. And so we can give thanks, right? Right. For all things, Paul says. For all things that touch our lives. The things that make us soar and sink. The things that make us fly and fall. The things that make us dance and drag our heels. For all things, Paul says, you are to give thanks. Everything. This is my wallet. That's my driver's license. It says I'm allowed to drive. I have a van. What are you driving? That's from God. My health card. It means I can go to a clinic, a hospital, get health coverage. Wow. Do you want to know how many people in this world would love that? Do you have one of these? Okay. Here's my CAA card. If I break down the road, in half an hour someone comes by and picks me up and helps me out. That's a blessing. Here's my green card. I have a bank account. I have money in that account. Not much, but I have money. You got one of these? Here's my Blockbuster card. I can go in and rent a movie and sit down with my family and enjoy a good time of leisure. Do you ever do that? I don't have a credit card. I should thank God for that. Here's a picture of my family. Okay. That's from God. It's all from God. The whole thing. For all things, Paul says, give thanks. You know how much you've got? Even the hard things God sends your way, which He's going to work and angle for your glory and for His glory and your good, I mean, they just keep on coming, don't they? Paul says, for all things, at all times, and for all things, you are to give thanks. To give thanks. See, the truth of the matter is, you don't deserve anything. Did I mention that? The truth of the matter is that each one of you here this morning deserves nothing but hell. Okay? The truth of the matter is that every blessing that you know is a gift, it's a bonus, it's a boon, it's a blessing, and it comes from the hand of a loving Father. What we all deserve this morning is nothing but hell. What we all deserve is to go throughout all eternity suffering the unmitigated full force of God's wrath forever. Do you believe that? Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that our sin is such an affront to God, such a violation of His holy law, that you and I deserve nothing but everlasting torment in the flames of never-ending hell? Do you believe that? You know what? I think we have to think about that more than we do. You know why? Because if we would think about that, maybe we wouldn't be so ungrateful about the things in this life. Right? These things come to us, friends, from the hand of a loving God. Give thanks. You're not going to hell this morning if you're trusting in Jesus Christ. That is amazing. Give thanks. And you know what? Take stock of your lives. Yep. Daily inventory. Go around your life, go around your house, go around and just take stock of the blessings that come to you. Name them, as the hymn says, what? One by one. Every one. Every single one that comes to you, thank God for that. You doing it right now? Here's what we need, friends. We need this. We have got to be people who are brimming with thanksgiving. Here's how it happens. We remember what God has spared us from, that we deserve hell, and we realize that everything that comes to us now is nothing but a blessing. And so take stock, take inventory of all that God's given you. For all things, Paul says, you are to give thanks. And here's the third and final directive. You are to give thanks in Jesus' name. You're to give thanks for all times, at all times, for all things. And to give thanks in Jesus' name, which means a lot more than just simply affixing the expression in Jesus' name at the end of your prayers. It means something way more than that. It is an acknowledgement that everything that we have and enjoy comes to us from the hand of God through Jesus Christ. Everything. It's the acknowledgement that apart from Jesus Christ, you would know no blessings at all. None. Do you believe that? This morning, you who have come here and you're not yet in a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ, I hope you understand that the blessings that you know in this life, your health, your family, your friends, your work, everything that you know that's good, that puts a smile on your face, you know what? You have it only because of Jesus Christ. And my question to you this morning is this: how then are you living in response to God's grace? Children, I want you to listen to me very carefully this morning. Okay? Listen carefully. It is so easy to take everything for granted in your life. Children, how many of you have a job this morning? How many of you work? How many of you earned the clothes that you're wearing? How many of you earned the food that fed you this morning for breakfast? How many of you earned Thanksgiving dinner? I don't see any hands yet. Okay. How many of you earned the money to pay for the education that is helping you to get along in this life? Okay, one. Just one. Okay. Do you see my point, children? And how about the rest of you? Those of you who come here this morning and you're not yet in the right relationship with God, don't take anything for granted. Anything. The right thing to do when you consider everything that God has given you is to stop right now in the middle of your lives and to say, God, thank you. Thank you for everything. And above all, thank you for giving your Son to this world to die on that cross, to pay for sin, so that by faith I won't go to hell, but live for you forever and ever and ever. And this morning, if you're here and you're just breathing through life and just taking God's blessings, and there's nothing back, there's not a word of thanks, but God, thank you, but I'm on my own and I'll do whatever I please. Listen, if I was God, I would be angry with you. And you know what? Romans 1 tells us that the reason why God gives people over to wickedness and to judgment is because they don't give thanks. And I pray this morning that will just hit you like a train and bring you not only to your senses, but to the living God who has been nothing but good to you. And just say, God, I need your Son, Jesus Christ, for the salvation of my soul. Bring me into a right relationship with you so that I will not live a grateless life, but grateful forever and ever. This morning, if you're in Jesus Christ, know this, that God waits to be thanked by you. That God has brought you into a relationship with Himself through His Son to give thanks to Him. And you can. It's amazing. When we look at our half-hearted thanks, when we look at the faultiness and the flaws by which we give thanks to God, and are any of you guilty of that this morning? Uh-huh. Well, guess what? In Jesus Christ, all who go up through Jesus Christ, they are made perfect. They are received by God the Father as though they're perfect. Now listen to that. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes when I go to give thanks, I think to myself, God, why would you ever receive thanksgiving from me? And I guess thinking of myself, I understand that. But you know what? They all go through Jesus Christ. And through Him, they're made perfect, they're made acceptable and lovely in God's sight. And let that just stir your hearts as you give thanks this morning in Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. And this morning, if you feel like you're looking at an unclimbable mountain, if you feel that Paul's laid a charge on you that is just laying you out flat, he has. And you need to remember that this verse does not sit in isolation. It's linked back to verse 18. Go there in your Bibles. And Paul says this, and do not be drunk with wine. Don't be filled with wine. Don't be under the control and the influence of wine, but what? But the Holy Spirit. That's right. He says, don't get filled on wine, get filled on the Holy Spirit. And that is how all of these exhortations are going to be lived out in your lives. Here's how we're going to be able to sing and make melody in our hearts, to give thanks and submit to one another. It has got to be by the power of the Holy Spirit. How do you do that? Well, for one thing, you know this. This is not something that happens to you. This is something that you do. Paul says, you be filled with the Holy Spirit, which means this, don't grieve Him. Don't go on sinning. You cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit if you are continuing in sin. That is to grieve the Holy Spirit. That's not the answer. The answer is to repent of your sins and not to grieve the Holy Spirit. But it also means this. It means that you remember that you are indwelt this morning by the Holy Spirit. You believe that? 1 Corinthians 6 says this. Don't you know that your bodies are what? A temple of the Holy Spirit. Right now, believer, the Holy Spirit dwells within you. Within you. Your body is a temple. And what He does is He waits to be asked and petitioned to exercise His influence and control over your lives. And here's the great thing. The more that we ask and seek the Holy Spirit to take control and influence our lives, the more open we'll be to His teaching and leading and guiding and comforting. And guess what happens? We become people who give thanks. If you meet a critical, condemning, snarling, whinging, whining, complaining, critical person, you know what you know about that person? That person is not under the influence of the Holy Spirit. The person who is under the influence of the Holy Spirit, who is so controlled and governed by the Holy Spirit, is a person who gives what? Thanks. That's right. Ever wonder why the Apostle Paul, even as he's writing a letter from jail, says to the Ephesians, I always thank God for you. I think, Paul, what do you mean always? I mean, weren't there some days you just, you know, forgot or skipped? I always. How can you say that? Because here was a man who was totally in control by the Holy Spirit. A man who is so captivated by the work of the Holy Spirit, so only controlled by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God led him and taught him and comforted him and did all kinds of great things. And Paul's response? A man of thanksgiving. Here's the barometer. You want to know how much power and control and exercise the Holy Spirit has over someone's life? Listen. Are they thankful? Are they thankful? I always, Paul says, give thanks. Always. Always. And here's what I think, friends. The more that we submit to the Holy Spirit, the more that we refuse to quench Him, the more that we ask for Him, the more that He controls our lives, the stranger this exhortation will be. It will. The more unnecessary it will be. Can I say that? It'll be like the individual who's got 2 weeks vacation at the DR. The individual who's driving the car, the student who's studying. More and more will come to this verse, and we will say, "Well, Paul, why are you telling me to do this? I do this. This is exactly the thing that I do." And my prayer, and my hope for you this morning, is that you will so be filled with the Holy Spirit and become people brimming with thanksgiving, that this exhortation will become stranger and weirder and more unnecessary. Amen. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we pray for your Holy Spirit then. We ask for his power to be exercised in our lives. We ask, Father, that we would be open to his leading and teaching and all the wonderful things that he will show us that we so often miss. Lord, that we will be receptive to his comforting grace. And Lord, that we will be led down the path of thanksgiving. And so, Father, we pray that you will open our eyes and help us to take stock and give us your Holy Spirit, that we might give thanks to you at all times for all things, in Jesus' name. Amen.